Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Eric.
And we're all back for minute 54. Welcome back, everyone. This train is still a-moving.
On both sides.
Don't believe you, Chris.
There are windows behind Tom and Claire and their lamp.
All right. Anyway, this minute begins with Krieger talking about getting Luther all the computer equipment he needs and ends with our first reference to the famous White Room in Mission Impossible. We finally made it, guys. We're at the White Room.
Yep.
We're not really there, but we're talking about the White Room, and they show it.
They don't show the room yet. They show the hall that goes to the room.
They show the hall, but it's also white.
Yes, the hall is white
as well. White hall to the White Room with the red sign.
With black curtains.
Yes, exactly. White room with black curtains.
In a white room. I love bread. You know who else loves bread? Jean Reno. I love a tasty baguette. That's the band.
Yes. You mean right? Cream.
Cream.
You mean cream you know on your bread.
You know what other French people also like? Second to bread. It's cream. So this minute begins with Krieger saying it's going to take him a little time to get the stuff for Luther. And again, Ethan calling him on it just like he called Luther on it. He's like, that's not what Claire told me.
Yeah,
this is our first indication that Claire knows who Krieger is and probably recommended him.
Yeah.
So it probably won't come up again. Just thought you should know.
But Claire did something. Yay, I did something.
I'm the one who had Krieger come in.
Oh, Claire. Thank you, Claire.
It's all right. It's all right.
At this point, Luther is ecstatic about he's about to get his wish list of hacking equipment. He's looking for a thinking machine laptop. He wants the 686 prototypes with AI wrist chip. This for him, this is really exciting.
And for us, it's a lot of gobbledygook.
Yeah. I went and looked up Thinking Machine, and Thinking Machine was a company in the 80s, and it was bought by Sun Microsystems, and then finally Cisco. They did create supercomputers and data mining computers back in 1983, which is pretty impressive.
And 13 years before this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those computers are probably what we're recording this podcast on now.
Well, it also doesn't help. It also doesn't help that they went out of business in 94. 2 years before this movie started. So,
but when they were shooting the movie, you know?
Yeah, but the thinking machine was probably some industry guys like, let's just use the word thinking machine because that was a company and they no longer exist.
Hey, nobody will sue us.
Just to let you know what they actually do is their products are super fast computers with multiprocessors, which nowadays we all, yeah, of course, multiprocessor. We all have those. But in 1983, especially up until 94, they were trying to come up with a faster way to do, it's called single instruction multiple data. It's SIMD. There are still today SIMD. They're mostly in our graphics cards, in our computers. So that's where all of the supercomputing tech has gone and migrated over the years. We now have these amazing processors, and they don't want the processor slowing down trying to render things. So nowadays, a lot of the thinking machine processor power went into your graphics card. And they're used mostly for 3D graphics and all of the graphics information that you have on your system. So kind of interesting. So pretty much Luther wants a graphics card. He wants a computer with a good graphics card.
Don't we all?
And an AI wrist chip. I mean, all of our computers nowadays, computers and phones have to have an AI that is smarter than a prompt. A C prompt doesn't do it for anybody. So you need your computer actually to assume things about what you're working on and tell you about things that might be interesting to you based on the work you've done previously. So
basically he's acting for our phones back then, huh?
Yeah. He could probably have done all this hacking on a phone.
Yeah.
Or an iPad. But of course, there was no wireless internet. One of the things he brings up is that there's no modem access and that he's going to have to be at the physical terminal. That's when Ethan drops the bomb on him that it's a lot worse than he thought. We see our first shot of the white hallway at Langley and a gentleman walking down that hall and he's putting his eye up to he's walking up to a terminal on the door. This is interesting because I love it when movies show you what they're talking about instead of just standing in front of a giant spinning, like, vector-based graphic of the place they're about to do the heist in. Mm. That drives me nuts.
So Return of the Jedi bugs you then, huh?
Return of the Jedi bugs me. That 3D map. But yeah, it's, I love it when a movie actually puts you in that. And Mission Impossible does that a couple times since. They do it again. The only other one I can remember, and Chris, you can help me with this, is in Rogue Nation, the most recent one, when they're talking about how Benji's excited he's going to get to wear a mask. And yeah. Then as he walks out of this like black market bank, he's going to get tased because his walking gait is not the same as the person. Doesn't matter what masks he wears. They actually show him getting tased as if they're talking about it like it really happened, but in actuality, they're just explaining it.
And they do it. They do it in the second one also, where they're talking about how Ethan would. They do a little bit of it. How Ethan would enter the biosite lab, that he would jump in and using some sort of fancy acrobatics. And they start it up that way, and then they cut to the actual scene.
Yeah, and I really like that way. I like that De Palma's doing that in this.
Yeah.
He's actually showing, because in the book and the script, it's just Ethan holding up fingers. In the original script, it's just Ethan counting off on his fingers all the things they're not going to have.
Thank God for editors.
That could have easily have been the movie. And this becomes one of the best scenes because it sets up that room so well. By the time we get into that room, we know exactly how it works. We know exactly how all the chairs and
yeah, it sets it up really well.
Well, and the huge part of it for me is how it's the actual scenes. You know, it's not done twice. It's not done one way where he's talking about it and it's what's supposed to happen. Or something like that. He's describing what is going to happen. It's what the plan is, and it really does. Yeah, it's this way.
It's almost like a meanwhile at Langley, right. And they're actually showing you the exact thing he's talking about. What's happening at the exact moment?
Yeah,
I like that too. It's weird though that Luther didn't. I know Luther is super excited, but isn't it weird that the hacker doesn't bring his own equipment?
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Name another movie where someone else on the team's job is to get the hacker his equipment before he'll even start. I can't think of one.
Yeah, and all the other movies, he's got his equipment already.
Right, because that's weird. How disavowed is he? And knowing Krieger can get all this stuff, it makes you start wondering, what is Krieger's background? I went and looked it up. They don't have a lot. The only thing that has it, and I'll show you guys, is this comic book. I have a Mission Impossible. In my hands, I have a Mission Impossible comic book. It is a 48-page spectacular. It was drawn by the infamous Rob Liefeld. So, in other words, no one has feet. And scripted by Marv Wolfman.
Oh, wow.
This is a famous comic book. This comic book is famous because it came out when they didn't get Tom Cruise's permission for his likeness beforehand. They just did it and made it look like what they thought Tom Cruise would look like as a cartoon. Tom Cruise saw it. It was already out and said, "This looks too feminine to be me." It's Rob Liefeld. So, you know, all of his men look feminine. They're all very angular and, you know, have high cheekbones and things like that. They had to recall all the ones that weren't sold. So this is one of the, new ones, not one of the old ones. This one's not worth anything.
Yeah. Is that one of the reprints?
Quote unquote, worth anything. Look like Tom Cruise. This guy just looks like a dude. They just made Ethan Hunt super generic in this comic book. Huh. It's a prequel to the movie. The first two stories are terrible. You can go look them up. I've had to read them. It's a 48-page comic book. 42 of the pages are terrible. It's not interesting. It's a boring story. It's about Ethan. It's about Jim. It's about Claire. And none of them look like anything like what they do in the movie. And then the last story is about Krieger and Luther. And it's how they got disavowed.
Hmm.
Krieger was disavowed before Luther. Luther had just been disavowed probably a couple months before this movie takes place. Which is an interesting fact. But Krieger was a loose cannon. And they use him for a job and he's a loose cannon again and kills a bunch of dudes and then chloroforms a woman. Yeah, this is not going well. And at the end of it, the mission is a success, but Luther gets captured. So Luther gets disavowed. So it's at the end of the day, it's kind of Krieger's fault. Them working together again, it's like, okay, so Jim Phelps fired them. Krieger got him fired. Ugh, this team is already, they're not going to like each other. They're definitely not going to trust each other.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're definitely not going to be friends with each other.
Relax, Luther, it's much worse than you think. Luther's face, you know, just that kills me every time I see it. I mean, it's just this dismal looking, oh no.
He's like, oh, and then Claire has this little demure smile, which is funny too, because it's like, oh. It's like, oh, this is a lot worse than you thought. And she's like, I knew it was terrible to begin with. So, yeah, he explains what's going to happen. And we see Langley. We see a gentleman walk up to the keypad. And the gentleman who walks up is named William Donlow. That's all we get. It ends with him staring at what looks like a keypad of some kind. That's this minute. A lot of conversation about computers that don't exist. And
Luther wanted to keep them after the job is done.
Yeah, that's also, again, how bad off is he?
Well, he's disavowed, so, I mean, he's obviously got nothing. Except for his clothes, you know, that are awesome.
Yeah, but Krieger can get him anything he wants, and he obviously knows Krieger. Or maybe he doesn't know Krieger. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Do they know each other? In the comic book, they know each other.
In the movie, it doesn't seem like they know each other.
Seems like they were just picked at random, right?
Yeah, it seems like Luther was Ethan's pick and Krieger was Claire's pick.
Yeah, I definitely think that's what the movie's trying to show you.
Yeah,
what were you gonna say?
I do like this William Donlow, the actor's name, Rolf Saxon.
Rolf
Saxon. I don't remember him in any of the movies, but there were movies I've seen that he's been in otherwise. But
what movie have you seen?
Tomorrow Never Dies. A James Bond movie.
Oh, he's probably, God, who knows who he is in that movie. But he looks a lot different than he did then. He has a beard and a lot of things, too.
Yeah.
And he looks a lot different. He was in Entrapment.
Yeah, that was the other one with the Bond connection there, too.
Yeah, most of the stuff he's been in are like TV movies and video games. And the narrator of Teletubbies. So good for him, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
It's got to be some good Teletubby money.
I just watched Saving Private Ryan last night. I swear to God, and he's in it. But I have no idea. Says he's Lieutenant Briggs.
Ha! Huh, yeah.
So he's one of those that he's a common that guy, but he's even less of a that guy because I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I didn't even recognize him in Saving Private Ryan, and I would definitely have recognized him because I've watched these minutes. So. Famous that guy, William Donlow. We're going to get to know you tomorrow. Rolf Saxon. That's a great disavowed name.
Yep.
I would totally work with an agent named Rolf Saxon. Rolf, I'd like you to meet my other worker, Ben Wakuku.
Ben Wakuku.
Ben Wakuku. Rolf Saxon and
Philippe Duchette.
Simon Staines in
the B team.
No, B. God. D for disavowed. The D team. These guys aren't even close to the letters. The two team, the four team. I had a voice for William Donlow, but he doesn't say anything in this. Well, he does. He says his name. So he does. I get to use my voice. He does say, "Hello, I'm William Donlow." Ah, Deborah. William Donlow's here. Hopefully, we'll hear from him again. I don't remember. He talks a little bit, but it's not. He doesn't talk a ton in these minutes he's in.
No, he's more like vomiting.
No vomiting though in these minutes. That's good.
Mm-hmm. He's got his paper and his coffee.
For all you emetophobes, this is clear of vomiting.
I'm vomit free. I guess I am. I guess I'm a emetophobe.
You're an emetophobe?
I guess so.
If you see vomit, will it make you sick?
Yeah.
In a movie.
No, because I know it's not real.
Oh, okay.
If it's real. So is that?
So you can't watch Cops or something because you'll be like, oh, God, that's real. Mm-hmm. That's real. Okay. I'm not an emetophobe. Do you have any kids, Eric?
No, I don't.
Nope.
Once you have a kid, you're not an emetophobe anymore because someone will poop or throw up on you at some point, and you'll just be like, all right, whatever.
And then you're cleaning it up, and you're like, ugh.
So, again, apologize to everyone out there that we're now talking about cleaning up puke. Well, yeah, we can come back tomorrow and talk about this. But, you know, Chris, there's one thing we got to do before that.
Is it tech of the episode?
Oh, yes, it is tech of the episode. Eric, yay. Welcome again to your fourth tech of the episode. Eric, we're going to put you on the spot. Go. Tech of the app.
Well, I like what I wrote down first is risk. R-I-S-K. And then I had to look it up. And you were talking about it a little bit earlier, but I'm glad I saved it. Reduced instruction set computer. I sure didn't know what that was. I didn't know it was R-I-S-C. And on the Wikipedia page I found for it, it even says Sun as a picture of the microprocessor.
Yeah, they at this point, they would have been part of them.
Yeah.
They would have been part of them for 2 years because they bought them out of bankruptcy. There's so many like words that Luther throws out. So you definitely picked a good one. The risk computer is a good one. What about you, Chris?
I'm going to go with the little thing on the wall that William Dunlow speaks into.
Hello, I'm William Dunlow. Let me in. That's called an intercom.
That's not an intercom.
It's an intercom with a keypad. Yeah, you come to Chicago. That's an intercom. That's how you get into my house.
That's right. You live in Chicago.
My house
that's why you need one of those.
My house is pristine white, like the inside of the white room.
With black curtains?
Yeah, well, black floor.
Ah, there you go. Yes, I'm going with the intercom. The magical intercom that he speaks into.
The CIA intercom.
The HAL 9000.
I'm going with the hallway lighting. I'm just so happy to see something else in this movie that isn't the inside of a safe house or the inside of a white room. It's a giant long hallway and it's lit really well, or a magical train room. I'm really happy to see that. So Thomas Edison, you win this round because lights are the best and we love them every day. I have lights on right now. My tech is the best. Your intercom and your risk computer, those aren't being used anymore. Well, intercoms are, but lights are used every day. It's not a competition, guys.
But you win, right?
Until it is.
But if it was a competition, I would totally win, but it's not a competition, so everybody wins.
It'll be its competition tomorrow when we're trying to pick the tech of the week.
Yeah, that's a really serious competition, so no joking about that. So on that note, we can come back tomorrow and talk about minute 55. Eric, you're on this last train. You're on this train with us all the way to the end of the stop. Okay, end of the road, end of the line, end of the what is it? End of the line.
Yeah,
I think so.
Eric, you're on this train with us all the way to the end of the line at minute 55.
Woohoo!
We'll see you then. Okay.
All right, I'll be back.
Join us on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram at Minute Impossible and Facebook at the Minute. At Facebook at the Impossible Minute Force. You can always rate and review us. And since our last episode, I said that you can send us a 5-star review and tell us how awesome we are. And I'm going to read it on the air. In a funny accent. Well, an accent. It's subjective whether or not it's funny.
A tasteless accent?
Oh, it's definitely going to be tasteless. Yeah, and you can do it too. Don't just make it me.
I'm not. I will bring out Slowpoke.
Is that your go-to?
That's my go-to right now until I can come up with something better.
Yeah, you're going to need to come up with something better.
You got it.
All right, then. We'll see you tomorrow. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Eric.
This minute, this long minute, will self-destruct in 5 seconds, starting now.